Welcome to Influencer Marketing for Destinations, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network.
Welcome back to another episode of Influencer Marketing for Destinations, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. We are so excited for this third episode of 2022, where we have a really important topic that we are going to be discussing today. But before we get into that, let's do a quick little time out for trends. Jacqueline, do you want to take that away?
Yes, I would love to. This time out for trends actually comes to us from Forbes. It's a little bit older. It's from 2020, but I think it's a great article that not only talks a lot about the topic we're going to talk about today, which is FTC guidelines, but it also talks about the prediction of influencer marketing in 2022. So the stat that it mentions is that it's predicted that brands will spend up to $15 billion on influencer marketing by 2022. So I think this is really important. It not only shows that influencer marketing is a growing industry, it's a growing tactic that marketers are using, but it also is something that is really important enough that we need to be following laws and guidelines and rules for. So I'm really excited for us to talk about the FTC guidelines for influencers.
Exactly. Yep, I agree. Influencer marketing is not going away. And it just kind of shows, right? The phrase is you follow the money. And if you see anything from this article, $15 billion is quite a bit of money that companies are investing in influencer marketing. So if you're a destination listening and you still haven't jumped on the bandwagon of influencer marketing, 2022 is your year. We've just seen so many positive benefits partnering with influencers. And we definitely think your destination will benefit from it too. So with that said, Jacqueline mentioned that we are going to be speaking about FTC guidelines today, and this can be kind of a scary topic for both influencers and destinations. So today we're going to kind of break it down and give out all the little details that we can. However, we do want to provide a disclosure that we are not lawyers. We're not licensed law advisors or any other type of professional in this industry. This information is provided just based on our personal experience in marketing, business, and influencer-specific marketing. So this is just our research that we have taken from reliable sources and we are presenting to you. So once again, we are not lawyers. So keep that in mind as we go through our episode today.
Yeah, thanks, Jess. I think it is also fun. I'll give a little shout out for our next episode. If you do want to hear from a lawyer, we are going to have one on the show, which I think will be really fun. So if you do have questions that you want an actual lawyer to help answer, feel free to message us on social media or email us. All of that is in our description, and we would love to get those questions answered by a professional for you.
Exactly. Yeah, I love that. So like she mentioned, on Instagram, if you'll just send us a DM, we'll make sure to include that in our show for next time with our lawyer. So to begin, what does FTC mean? So FTC actually stands for Federal Trade Commission, and this was actually created back in 1914 when President Wilson signed the Federal Trade Commission Act into law. And it officially opened its doors on March 16th, 1950. Basically, the mission of the FTC is to protect consumers and promote competition.
Thanks, Jess. Yeah, I think it's really important to know the background of FTC because not only is it just this abstract organization, but its true purpose is to help protect consumers and really to help the industry in all of its competition and all of the people that are in those industries and in this marketing field. So what I thought would be really cool for us to go over today is there is one document that was released by the FTC in November 2019. It's a disclosure 101 from social media influencers. This is a really nice document because it's in regular language. You don't have to worry about law wording or speaking or anything like that that could be confusing. And it's only 8 pages long. So I thought, let's just go over this together. I think Jess and I have some pretty interesting thoughts about this. And there were actually some things that surprised me. So I think it'll be really fun for us to go over.
Exactly. Yeah. And I do want to mention too, like Jacqueline said, it's pretty easy to understand the language of it. It's not, you know, lawyer jargon, but also they include videos. So if you're kind of a visual learner like myself, that's pretty helpful to have.
Yep. And so what we'll do is we'll include the links for all of the resources that we mentioned today in our description. So you're welcome to go click and look at it for yourself. You can also find it on ftc.gov/influencers. So with that, let's just get started on page one, Jess.
Great. Okay. So page one, basically what you need to know from this page is your endorsement on social media should make the relation obvious. It shouldn't be hidden. People shouldn't question if this is a paid partnership or a sponsored post. The relationship should be very obvious on social media.
Yep. And let's talk about what that relation is. I know this was actually a little bit surprising for me. They talk about your relationship as a couple different things. The first one is a material or a financial connection or relationship. Material meaning if it's a personal relationship, a family relationship, or even an employment relationship where you're being paid to do something. I thought that was really surprising because a lot of times we'll promote something for a friend or for a family member, and you don't necessarily think about that as an endorsement. But it actually is, and that relationship does need to be disclosed.
Yeah, that, honestly, I definitely learned that when I was reviewing this because I had no idea about that little point in there. So that's good to know. And then furthermore, financial, it doesn't just mean paid post as well. It could be free or discounted product or services. All of that needs to be disclosed in your posts.
Yep. Definitely. One of the things I really want to point out in this document, and I actually want to quote it here, is we've mentioned in past episodes how it's not only the responsibility of the influencer to know about these guidelines and to be aware of them and follow them, but it's also partly on the destination as you hire influencers to make sure that they're aware of these guidelines and helping them to follow the guidelines as well. I think that still is true, but the quote that this document actually states is this. Quote, as an influencer, it is your responsibility to make these disclosures, to be familiar with the endorsement guides, and to comply with laws against deceptive ads. Don't rely on others to do it for you, end quote.
Exactly. I love this. I will throw in a personal experience here that as an influencer, you cannot rely on the brands to let you know all the different legal steps that you need to take to protect yourself with these FTC guidelines. So for example, a couple months ago, a company reached out to me wanting me to post about their product, but specifically asked me not to use the hashtags, you know, sponsored, or not to disclose the relationship that this was a sponsored ad. And obviously, right, that's a big red flag. So that was the end of the partnership. But just be aware that most of the time, I would say 99% of the companies are good companies, right, that are reaching out. They understand these FTC guidelines, but there are some times where there are companies that are specifically trying not to follow these rules. So as an influencer, just be aware of what steps you need to follow.
Yep, definitely. And destinations, that's a good note for you as well, hearing that experience. That doesn't put a good flavor in someone's mouth regarding your destination. And hopefully that's not shared publicly, but it's definitely something that, you know, it just needs to happen. It's a rule we need to follow, and we want to make sure that the consumer and the audience is being told the truth. We want to be ethical there as well.
Exactly. Yep. Totally agree with that. Okay. Let's jump to page number two. This page is all about when to disclose your partnership. So the first thing that you need to understand that if a brand or destination, right, gives you a free or discounted product or trip or any other perks along those lines, you need to disclose that even if you weren't asked to mention that product. So that's pretty important when you're partnering with the destination. Just be sure to disclose that relationship on your posts.
Yep, definitely. I think this is where things could get a little gray, because I know we've done so many episodes last year, and one of the ones that comes to top of mind for me is our itinerary standard. Go back and listen to that because it's an amazing episode and we share so many tips and tricks. But it's funny because a lot of times we'll have influencers ask us when they receive that itinerary, this is really big, do you want me to do everything? And so we'll actually respond back to them and we will say, you know, we've put the highlights and the big parts in here, but we've done our best to mention, you know, optional or other things you can do when it comes to that line of here's things that you don't have to do, but we just want to suggest to you, or here's some things you might want to do in your spare time. So we try to make it pretty clear in that itinerary, here are things we do want you to do, and here's kind of that line of requirement. and here's the things that, yes, you should mention as you're endorsing and disclosing this, but then here are the things that are optional, and those are completely up to you.
Exactly. Yep. Now, what happens if your audience or you are currently international at the moment? Basically, the FTC guidelines say that the U.S. law still applies if it is reasonably foreseeable that this post will affect U.S. consumer. And you'll also have to be aware of the foreign laws may also apply to your posts. We're not going to touch on foreign laws today. We're just going to touch on these U.S. FTC guidelines. But just be aware of your audience and who you're posting for, because you may need to follow the U.S. FTC guidelines as well.
Yep, for sure. I know there's one question that a lot of people think of, and this also refers to when you need to disclose. But there are a lot of products out there in the world that we're influenced by that maybe don't have a disclosure. And the reason why is there's a sentence here in the guidelines that says if you don't have a brand relationship or if you don't have a connection with that company, then you don't have to declare that you don't have a brand relationship. I know that's a double negative, so it's a little confusing, but essentially if you don't have a relationship, then you don't have to worry about disclosing it. And so I think that's important to note as well, because if you're not seeing, if someone says, you know, hey, I like this product, but they're not mentioning a relationship, they probably don't have one, or at least that's the hope, because hopefully everyone is following these guidelines.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's not against, right, FTC guidelines to share about a product that's your favorite, right, or that you think your audience would benefit from, and you don't have to share or do follow these FTC guidelines if you actually don't have a relationship with that brand. So that's a great point.
Yeah, for sure.
Anything else you want to touch on page 2, Jacqueline, before we jump to page 3?
So I have a question for you, Jess, because one of the things I don't think this brought up was, what if an influencer is hired for a trip and it's a one-time trip, the contract is over, but yet the influencer either revisits that destination on their own, or they want to talk about what a fun time they had on that trip. And because it's not part of that contract, do you think they need to disclose that? This is just our opinion, everybody. But
yeah,
I want
my opinion, you know, because I don't want
it's a question.
It's a great question. Honestly, here's my opinion. I would say no, just because of the fact that it was not part of your partnership. You're not gaining, unless you're gaining affiliate marketing from it, like dollars off hotel bookings or experiences within the destination. I feel like if you're not gaining anything money-wise or anything like that, and it wasn't part of your contract to begin with, I would say that you wouldn't have to disclose the partnership. But once again, that's just my personal opinion. Jacqueline, what do you think on that?
Yeah, I actually am in the same boat. I think if the contract is over, you're more than welcome to mention, you know, hey, we went on a trip in partnership with said destination and we want to refer back to it. We loved it so much. But, you know, I don't think so, because that contract is over and that's still an experience that you had, and it's not something that someone is paying you to do. Mm-hmm. But, you know, maybe that's a question we'll ask our lawyer next time.
That's a great one. Yeah, I'll write that down. Perfect. Well, let's jump over to page 3. We've talked about, you know, when you need to disclose, but let's talk about how to disclose your partnership on social media.
Yes, this is something that really stuck out to me. There were a lot of details here that I honestly was not quite aware of, and so I think this was good to review and to look at. So one of the things that hopefully everyone should know is that you definitely need to disclose it, and it needs to be in the message itself. One of the things I often see, or at least I look for, and I didn't know it was against the guidelines, but you don't want to have any of your hashtags or your sponsored messaging buried. In other words, you don't want it to be a bunch of hashtags and then hashtag ad or hashtag sponsored buried deep within that. It needs to be somewhere where everyone can see it.
Yeah, and if I, and don't quote me on this, but I remember a while ago seeing that it needs to, the hashtag ad or hashtag sponsored needs to appear within the first 2 sentences of your caption on Instagram. I'll have to go back and see if I can find if that is indeed correct. But basically, it's just like Jacqueline is saying, it can't be buried in this list of 30 hashtags. It needs to be very prominent and people can clearly see that this is a sponsored post.
Yeah, I know I didn't see that in any of my research. It could be in, I mean, I know there's a lot of FTC documents out there. We can't even mention all of them in this episode today, so it could be in one of those, but it's definitely not in this one. One of the things that was interesting, though, was when you're mentioning your language or you're mentioning your disclosure, it has to be the same language as the post itself. So if you're a multilingual influencer out there, please be aware that, you know, if your post is in Spanish or French, then your sponsored endorsement or your hashtag ad, hashtag sponsored, also needs to be in that language as well. And the part that was surprising was it's not necessary to add hashtag ad or hashtag sponsored, but you do have to disclose and mention it somehow. And that was shocking. So a couple other ways that you could mention and disclose an ad or a sponsored post is doing hashtag advertisement, or you could do a hashtag ambassador or hashtag partner. There's a lot of different things that you could do, and it doesn't have to be a hashtag at all. It could be a sentence that says, you know, as an ambassador of brand, I'm bringing you this post or bringing you this information. And so I thought that was really interesting because I think a lot of times we go searching and digging for that hashtag ad when it actually isn't super necessary as long as it's clear.
That's awesome. And that's honestly, that was really good for me to learn about too, because I've always just been taught, especially with brand partnerships, they specifically ask you, make sure you use hashtag ad or hashtag sponsored. So that was really fascinating to learn about that. You actually don't have to use that specific hashtag. You just need to make it very clear in the caption that this is a partnership that you have.
Yeah. So when it comes to, we've talked a lot about captions and posts, but just what happens when it's a video or a Snapchat or an Instagram story? What do we do then?
Yeah, for sure. If it's any like a video or a live stream or anything like that, an easy way to do this is just mention it multiple times during the live stream. So, right, you know that people jump on live streams and jump off pretty quickly, right? Throughout the entire video. So what I would try and do is just mention it right at the beginning, try to throw it in the middle, and then throw it in at the end again, just to let your audience know that this is a sponsored, you know, live stream. This is a sponsored video, so that they can be aware of it.
Yep, I think that's great. Yeah, and if it's an Instagram story, if it's a video or something that will disappear, you definitely want to add some text overlay or something like that to make sure that it's very clear and visible there as well.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Let's bring up a couple other interesting points that we found from these FTC documents. The first thing is you actually can't talk about a product you haven't tried. This is a big, just like from an ethical point of view, you would never want to sponsor or speak to a product that you've actually never tried, just because your audience does trust you. And so why would you lie to them and say, you know, this is great, this is fantastic, when you've actually never tried the product? So be aware of that is actually included in these FTC guidelines.
Yep. The other thing that you don't want to do is you can't make up claims about a product or the advertiser that you don't have the information to back up. The easiest example I have of this is, I don't know if any listeners know, my husband is a professional musician, and there are a lot of companies that have statistics behind them that say, you know, this is X percentage likely to help you with your playing or with your setup of your instrument and things like that. And we've made sure as an influencer and as, you know, as a speaker about the company, we've made sure to talk to the company about those studies. They've actually spent a whole year doing scientific studies and, you know, paperwork to support these claims. And so as an influencer, we're making sure that we refer to the company for those statistics, and we don't refer to the statistics as something we've done ourselves, because that isn't something we've done, and we want to make sure that the credit is going where credit is due. So same thing with travel brands and tourism destinations. You want to make sure that the statistics you're referencing either have a source, or that the information that you're sharing is either from you, something that you've learned, or something that the brand has given you.
Exactly. Yep. I think that's just a good practice to follow regardless of these FTC guidelines. The last point that I want to touch on is if you are paid to talk about a product and thought it was terrible, you can't say that it's terrific. You have to be honest. Even if that means that, you know, you're going to sever that brand relationship, or they're probably not going to hire you again, to be honest. You have to be honest with your audience and honest, you know, to yourself. Don't try and make something up that you actually didn't believe.
Yep. I love that, Jess. We have so many examples in past episodes, and I'll repeat one just for our listeners today in case they haven't been listening with us along the way. But there was an experience that we had with an influencer where they went to a destination and one of the restaurants that we sent them to actually wasn't quite family friendly. And it wasn't a place where they were able to take their kids. And it was something that we as an agency and as a destination had kind of overlooked, to be honest. We felt so bad. And we were really grateful that the influencer handled it in a very professional way and emailed us and said, you know, hey, for future reference, this was our experience. This is what happened. This is why we didn't post about it, because we wanted to let you know. And it was really nice because it's not like that restaurant was a bad place. I mean, it has good food. We had just forgotten, you know, the age limit. And so it was really nice that they were able to share that privately with us, but we're still able to be honest with their audience.
Exactly. Yep. And I can speak to the same thing. A couple months ago, we received a product for my son to test out, and it wasn't a good product. Like it could work out for other families, but it just was not a good fit for our family. And it was supposed to be a paid post and everything like that. So I just reached out to the brand and let them know, like, hey, this actually doesn't really work for my son. And it actually turned out to be all right. So obviously I didn't post about it, negative or positive. I also didn't get paid for it, but they just let us, you know, keep the product instead of trying to get us to send it back or anything like that. So I think from both stories, just email the destination or the brand and let them know, like, hey, this really, you know, is just not a good fit for us. In my experience, they've been pretty understanding.
Yep. I will say here, this is where things get a little interesting too. Like I said, there are so many other FTC resources that we haven't gone over today, but we are going to link to them in our description. There is a landing page by the FTC that does talk specifically about all different types of marketing. So Jess mentioned that this company gave her a product. And if she were to do either a positive or negative review, there are guidelines specifically on how to review products. So if either online contests or giveaways, online review programs, product placements, affiliate marketing, if any of those things are something that you currently do and you're interested in, definitely check out this landing page for more guidelines on how to do that effectively.
Exactly. Yep. And like Jacqueline mentioned, like there's so much information. So there's no way that we could cover it in just this single episode. But if you are interested in learning more, Jacqueline mentioned that we are going to have a lawyer on with us on the next show, which we are very excited about. And so we'll ask this lawyer more questions and be able to give, you know, more detailed and professional opinions and recommendations from them.
Yep, for sure. So you can definitely do that on Instagram, Twitter, we're on Pinterest, and you can also email us as well. Our email address is influencermarketing@relicagency.com. So if you have any questions, now's the time, and we will talk to our lawyer in the next episode.
Great. Fantastic.
See you next time. Thanks for listening. This has been another episode of Influencer Marketing for Destinations, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network, hosted by Jess and Jacqueline and produced by Relic.